of what we have felt in our hearts. As you open your Bibles to the book of Luke, the second chapter, it's where we'll be reading from, and many of you know the story. But I don't believe that Christmas would be complete without the Christmas story. I know it's a week away, but the next time I see you, it'll be past. So today, this is where the Lord has directed our hearts, and I want you to pray for us for a few minutes of time. I'll try not to be lengthy this morning in our preaching. Second chapter, book of Luke, starting at verse 1 through verse 7. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, which the city of David, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And stop reading there with that seventh verse this morning. And today, God had been working on my heart and gave me this message. And even today, as we was driving to church, have you ever been so caught up with the Lord that you even lose sight of where you're at? And that happened to me. And Becky startled me. That I had to get over. And I went to get over because I thought she said get over in the left lane. But there was a vehicle there. So I had to tell the Lord I better start paying attention to where I'm going. But this morning I'd like to bring to you a message entitled, The Cost of Christmas. The Cost of Christmas. Growing up, as we've heard these testimonies this morning, and it all goes with the message today, many of us had great big wish lists. And we thought, as we went through the catalog, how many of y'all remember that? And we thought that we could have everything that was in the book that we circled, because we didn't identify with the cost. It may have had the money, the price there, but the price meant nothing to us because we couldn't relate to what it would take to have the money to buy that gift. We just knew what we wanted. The cost wasn't important. And I believe that's where many of our people today are at with Christmas. They don't realize, Brother Mark, the cost of Christmas and how that we have commercialized it, taken out the real meaning of Christmas and replaced it with the value of the gift that can be placed under the tree. Becky's dad has gone on to be with the Lord, but every time something we would get or one of the kids would get, every time he would see us, he would always want to know how much it cost. How much those shoes cost you, boy? That's why he would talk to the kids. How much you pay for that car? How much that house cost you? Because you see, he wasn't looking at the price, he was looking at the cost. Today, when we look at the cost, as I said, we didn't realize the cost. I didn't realize how many hours Dad would have to work to be able to buy that. And at times we were upset because we didn't get what we thought we would, but we didn't realize that the roof over our head was more important than that gift that we wanted. Food on the table and shoes and clothes on our back was more important than that trinket that we had circled in the catalog. Was it important? I believe that we have lost the meaning of what the cost of Christmas is and replaced it with the things of the world to try to satisfy man. Have you ever thought about the true cost of Christmas and how that it all started with a visit from the angel to a virgin to tell her that she should be the mother of the Savior of the world? As he visited with her and said, "Be not afraid." As he visited with Joseph and said, "Be not afraid." And as he visited with the shepherds that were out in the field and said, "Be not afraid." The cost is already covered. When we look at Joseph having to identify with a child that wasn't his, a woman that he was espoused to that would tell him, "I'm with child. It's not your child." He knew it wasn't his child, right? And the rejection, no doubt, that she faced. Can you hear the people talking about Mary, this little neighbor girl who is now pregnant? Surely, her and Joseph did some things that they shouldn't have done. But Mary and Joseph would try to tell them, "It's not ours. It's the Holy Ghost that came down and implanted this child in my womb." But still, Joseph had to face, and Mary, the backlash. Can you hear the neighbors talking? The marriage had to be expedited. I don't read, Brother Ray, where there was a ceremony in the Bible, but I'm sure her mother and dad, maybe even Joseph's dad, said, "Y'all have got to get married now. Make this thing right." Unlike the world today, amen? Joseph had to leave his occupation. We know he was a carpenter. Jesus was a carpenter. He was the son of a carpenter. And I can go by the authority of God's word and say that even Joseph's dad was a carpenter. Because you see, in that time, it went from generation to generation to generation. If your daddy was a carpenter, you was a carpenter. Joseph had to leave his occupation. He now had a wife he had to take care of. And no longer was they led by their desires, but now they was led by God. And the time come that they had to journey from Galilee to Bethlehem. Mary being great with child. And no doubt Joseph, the worry that he had. Men, can you relate with that? That here his wife was to be with child, not knowing what the outcome was going to be on their journey and what all was associated with it. And they got there to Bethlehem, and the first thing they find out is there's no room for them in the inn. There's no room for them in there. And it was customary in that day that you would stay with family. But somebody had beat them to the room. There was no room for them. So he had to find a place where they could lay. And the Bible says that they was there at the stable. Didn't cost anything because nobody would want to sleep there. But I thought about this. You know, there's two different thoughts in the Bible and Bible history about that stable. It was either in the basement of a house where the people lived upstairs and the downstairs was kept for the animals to keep warm in the wintertime. But how many of you know that Jesus didn't come in December? It's early spring by best estimates. But still, in springtime, it's cold. The other one says that they stayed in a cave because it was customary to have caves for the animals to get into where they could put something in front of it and protect them. And it's always warmer than it would have been under the house. And I thought about this, and I'll get ahead of myself in my message, but I think I'll go with the latter analogy. I think they was in a cave. It's only fitting that they was in a cave, that he was born in a cave, because when he died, that's where they laid him, in a tomb in the hillside. From the cave to the grave. And I'll come back to that, Brother Ron, if God will let me. But a place that was cold, there was nowhere, even after they got in the cave, there was nowhere for them to lay this precious child when he was born. And I'm taking my time because this is the way God gave it to me. Trying to find a midwife at a time when it was to pay the taxes to help Mary with a child birth. I don't find anywhere in the Bible where she had a midwife. Maybe Joseph had to deliver the child. And can you see the fear of that young lady? Some say that she was probably 15 to 16 years old. Others say that she was somewhere between 13 and 15. And you say, man, that was young. Well, you got to remember, the average lifespan back then was only about 30 years old. So every one of us that's over 30, we'd already be gone. Maybe Joseph had to deliver God's son. Can you see the fear? You know, we think cost is always money. It's not. It's not. And I'll give you an example. Think of the cost that our veterans paid to have the freedoms that we have today. Some of them didn't pay a dime that we could have this life that we enjoy. But they gave their lives that we could enjoy the freedoms that we have today. And whether it was a midwife or maybe Joseph himself, she had never given birth before. She didn't know what to expect. And if it was Joseph, he had never seen a child be born before. What can I do to help? And even after the child was born, there was nowhere for him to lay his head. But can you see him looking around, and there's a manger. You know what a manger is? It's a feeding trough. It's a feeding trough where the animals would get their food from. Nowhere to lay his head, but there's a manger over there. We can gather it, and he can use that. Our pictures of what the manger scene looked like is nowhere near, I don't believe, the realistic picture of what Christmas was all about. Nobody there to help them celebrate. You say, well, the shepherds came. That was a little later. Maybe a day or two later, I don't know. But nobody there to really honor them. That this is not just a normal child. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is God's child that's here. And look what a lowly way he came into this earth. Look what a lowly way. Nobody came as low as Jesus did when he came into this world. And soon as he's born, there's a bounty put on his head. Herod told the wise men, when you find him, bring me news also that I may come worship this Christ child. All along, the cost of Christmas was kill him, kill him, kill him. They didn't want to worship him, much like the world today. We want all of the excitement of Christmas, but don't expect me to rejoice that a Savior was born on this day. Child in danger. You remember that the wise men brought them gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gifts that were fitting for a king, but I also believe it like this, Brother Emerson. Those gifts were given because God knew that they was going to be on the run for the rest of his life. They had to have a way to have food and clothing on their journey. So those gifts, I believe that they watched over them like they was the most valuable thing that they had in their possessions, because it was to sustain them in their journeys. They had to go down in Egypt. You remember all the different times that they had to run because the kings and the authorities was after them. You see, today we celebrate because of what they did for you and for I. But you know today, the real cost of Christmas was when a man called Jesus, after the heavens were searched and there was no one found to open the seals of the books. No one found worthy. But there was a cry that went out in the heavens saying, "Worthy is the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world." The cost of Christmas is not the birth. No, the birth was just the start of the payment. The cost was so great that no one was found that could pay the cost of Christmas except for one, and his name is Jehovah. Oh, hallelujah. Over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament alone about a cost that was so high and no one could pay it. But then there was a shout in the portals of heaven. Can I paraphrase it today and say, Christ said, "I'll go." He was the only one that was found worthy to pay the price for your sins and mine. The cost was so great. The cost was so great. And yet he come into a world where he was rejected and despised. He came into a world where he said, "The foxes have their dens and the birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head." He removed all of his glory and honor. You see, before he came to this world, angels sung about his majesty and glory. He left all of the ivory palace of heaven, came down to an earth where he was despised and rejected, spit upon, mocked, and cursed. You talking about a cost to move from glory to hell. And if I offend somebody by putting it that way, that's what he did. He come down here for people to abuse him. And many of them that really patted him on the back, all they wanted was a miracle from him. Everywhere he went, the devil was trying to destroy him and kill him. But you see, the true cost of Christmas was not the journey from Galilee to Bethlehem for a child to be born. There is no Christmas story complete without telling the whole story. Jesus did not come to be remembered as a babe in a manger. He said, oh, no. Oh, I got to pause for a minute and go back. Could you imagine Mary every day wondering, after he become an adult, is this the day? Is this the day? Becky talked about it, my nephew. Think about Mary. You say, well, she didn't know. No, Mary knew. The angel told her, he will pay the price. He is the Savior. He is God's child. And as he grew, and they saw the favor of God all over him as he performed the miracles, I'm sure Mary and Joseph stood there and said, that's my son. They did not realize that the cost of those miracles was just a down payment on what was going to happen in just a few days. Because you see, as he grew and he became to perform all these miracles, there was people that looked at him and said, who are you? Even some of his own said, people say you're Jeremiah or Isaiah or one of the prophets. But Jesus looked at him and said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answering said, I perceive that thou art the Son of God. He did not say the Son of Man. I perceive that thou art the Son of God. And the Lord looked at him and said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood have not revealed it to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. I didn't realize how much Christmas cost until God revealed it to me. It was just another day of a holiday. But now I realize this is more than just a holiday. This is a celebration day. We celebrate his birth. We honor him. But you've heard me many times in years past. If all he did was come to be born in a manger and perform miracles and die, and that was the end of it, he would have been nothing more than a good martyr or maybe a good prophet. But praise God, he was more than a martyr. He was more than a prophet. He was and is the Son of the living God. He paid the cost for you and I. Not in the manger, but on a tree outside of the city on a hill called Golgotha, where he laid down his life that you and I could have life and have it more abundantly. But not just that. The trials did not pay the cost. The nails in his hands did not pay the cost. But when that spear pierced his side, that did not pay the cost. But when he cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Lay not this at their hands. When he cried out, Abba, Father, and cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Did not pay the cost. Even when he bowed his head in death, it did not pay the full cost. Oh, some of you, you know what God's given to me. But on the third and appointed morning, praise God, he arose, and he paid the full cost for you and I to celebrate Christmas. And no, it is more than just a holiday. It is the day that God allowed his son to come and pay the full cost for your sins and for mine. The cost of Christmas is so great. I want to give our kids and grandkids everything I can on this journey, Ron. But more than anything, I want them to receive the greatest gift ever given to mankind. I want to hear them to be able to stand up and testify, God saved my soul. Oh, it didn't cost me anything, Sister Rachel, but God paid the cost for it. He didn't just put a down payment on it. He paid the full cost of my salvation and your salvation. And even to those that still reject him, the cost has been paid. All you have to do is claim it. I hear some of these, and even my uncle down in the hills, I seen he posted this week. They had some things in layaway. Some of y'all don't know what layaway is. Layaway is when you can't afford it. So you put it in layaway and you pay a little bit each week or each month until it's paid for. I had to explain it for those that don't know. But I've seen others, and my uncle was thanking somebody because somebody went in and paid for so many families' layaways, and they received it, and all it cost them was their initial down payment. Well, salvation is better than layaway. You can't pay for it. But on a hill called Calvary, my Jesus and my Lord, you know what he did? He said, Father, how much does he owe? How much does she owe? In fact, how much does the whole world owe for their sins? And Jesus answered and said, I'll pay the cost. He paid it, and I'm free. He paid it, and you're free. The cost of Christmas was more than just a manger, more than just that room out there or that in that cave. And you know, if you have nowhere else to go, a cave looks pretty good. Does it not? I believe Joseph and Mary was content with wherever they had to go and whatever they had to do, because they was doing it for their child. Moms and dads, as I close this morning, let me reiterate what Beck's already said. The greatest thing that we can do for our children and grandchildren is tell them the story one more time. Christmas is not just celebrating the birth. It's celebrating the death and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because he didn't come to be adorned as a child in a manger. He came to be adorned as King of your life and of mine. While Robert Sharon gets us a song this morning, I wonder, on this pre-Christmas day, do you really know what Christmas is all about? And you say, I know what it's about. I'm an adult. I know what it's about. I don't believe you really know what it's about until you experience him in your heart and in your life. Then you can say, I know what Christmas is all about. I know what it's about. And I feel bad. You ever received a gift and you knew that that person who gave it to you probably put all that they had in that? Maybe spent more than what they should have and could have. And you receive it and you're like, I appreciate it, but I wish you hadn't. Has anybody ever felt like that? I wish you hadn't. I can't say that about the gift that I got from God. I say, Lord, I don't know why you do it, but I thank you. I don't deserve it. But I'm glad that you paid the cost for my sins and for the whole world. While we stand this morning, if you don't know him, now's a good time to get to know him. Now's a good time to understand what Christmas is truly all about. And ask God to come in your life and change you. Make you a fit subject for His kingdom. While they sing. Just reach out to God. One more verse, Robbie. How about you this morning? Are you saved? Or are you just going through the motions? That I've looked back and I feel bad because I asked for something that Mom and Dad couldn't afford. And it probably made them feel bad that they couldn't give it. Because as a parent, even if we know they don't need it and they don't deserve it, we still have tried to give them what they've asked for. Amen. Anybody else want to confess on a Sunday morning? But there's one thing about God. I have never asked Him for anything that He could not give. That blessed my heart. Everything I've asked Him for, it was well within His ability. In fact, He said it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the keys to the kingdom. And whatsoever we would ask of Him, He will give it to us. Is that not what the scripture says? You see, we serve a mighty God. Amen. Amen. The cost of Christmas. I hope you've enjoyed the service today. I may have almost wrecked, but the message certainly has filled my heart. Yes. And I'll tell you, God, and you know, about Tuesday this past week, He laid this thought on my heart, and I was thinking, Lord, how are we going to bring that, a kind of word like that, to the people? Because we hear them say, from the cradle to the grave, no. It was more than that. So then I was thinking, from the cradle to the resurrection, no, it's more than that. From the cradle to the ascension, it's more than that. From the cradle to our coming Lord and Savior in the sky. But it's more than that. Oh, I get started again. From the cradle to I get to spend eternity in heaven. Oh, oh, that's, I'll let you go. I'll preach more. I wish all of you a Merry Christmas. Hope you realize the cost that's associated with it. And it makes you appreciate it more. appreciate it more. God bless you. Love each and every one of you. Merry Christmas. Good to have you with us. And you guys with us this morning. I think y'all been here before, though. No? Man, I see so many people. But y'all come back, would you? And be with us anytime you can. And church, remember one another. And remember those that are less fortunate. Still bring coats and shoes for these that are homeless. Don't give up. I was thinking yesterday about it, and the shoes I was going to give, I got muddy. I'll just confess. I was digging a hole. Yeah, and the coats I got are probably too thin. They're just little thin jackets. But then, it laid on my heart, a thin jacket's better than no jacket. Amen? So, y'all go, get your treats, and come back and see us anytime that you can. God bless you today.